Hey guys, we have one more storyteller. You've already seen her up here tonight. I told you you'd see her again. Just as a refresher, she is the producer of Puck and Grind, as well as a commissioner and a backup goalie, Miss Allie Lawrence.
So I've been a fan of burlesque for a long time. I started going to shows when I was in college, and I was in love with it right away. I loved the artistry of it, the costumes, the stories they were telling. It was this fun mix of like sexiness and humor, and it was just really provocative and empowering. It was amazing, and I wanted to be a part of it, but I couldn't. I was too afraid to. I knew that like I could, like I knew I could make the costumes. I knew I had the ideas, and I had songs and choreography all figured out in my head. But society told me that my body was unattractive, that nobody wanted to see me get naked. And that's what told me, or that's what was the reason why, that it took 3 years before I even decided to take a burlesque class. And when I saw that there were classes even being offered, it took me a few months to even sign up for it. Finally, what I ended up doing or deciding was that what's the worst that could happen? I go to the class. If I don't like it, I just don't go back. I lose $100 and an hour of time. Well, what did happen was I now perform under the name Lady Allie Mode. I'm in two burlesque troupes. I've headlined shows. I performed in front of audiences of 500 people. I've been in multiple festivals. Pretty much all these things, these amazing things that have happened in like the sense of like a burlesque career, let alone like all the amazing people I've met because of it, happened because I decided I wasn't going to let my fear stop me from doing something I want to do. Don't get me wrong, I still have like all those body issues. And I still like sit there and have that fear right before I get on stage of like, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to humiliate myself. But I don't let that stop me. A couple years ago, I decided that I kind of wanted to experience something like this again. I wanted to try something new and something that was kind of scary. At the time, I started getting into hockey. The Blackhawks were doing really well. Made it kind of easy. I have a good friend, Casey, who talked earlier, actually, took me under her wing and taught me everything I needed to know about hockey. What offsides was, why Brent Seabrook's nickname is Nachos. She brought me into this really great online community where I met all these really like great bloggers and just really cool people on Twitter, all these guys who just like made me feel welcome, which is weird in sports, right? I'm a girl, they shouldn't feel welcome, but it was a great group. I loved it. And I was in that same situation again where like I didn't want to just be an audience member anymore. I wanted to take part in it. So I found adult hockey classes. And again, I thought, what's the worst that can happen? If I don't like it after one class, I'll leave. Well, here's what the worst that can happen is. You could fall 29 times in an hour. You could humiliate yourself in front of a bunch of other people that you just met. You can also get a stick right to your belly button when you fell because you don't know how to fall right. There's a way to fall. There's the correct way and wrong way. But at the end of the class, after I fell for my 29th time, because I did keep count, the coach came up to me and helped me up. And then he pointed at a sign that was hanging above the goal net, right above the Blackhawks logo. And it said, "Don't judge those who try and fail. Judge those who fail to try." Because of that, it's been 2-3 years now, and I'm a goalie, which is the most difficult position in hockey. Some argue the most difficult position in sports. And again, I went from not doing any sports at all to doing this. Don't confuse my enthusiasm with talent. I always feel like I need to preference that. But I do try really fucking hard. Because of hockey, I've started going to trainers more. I skate 3, 4, 5 times out of a week. And I just want to get better. The same with burlesque. I met all these amazing people because of it, people who I never would have. And I got to have this new relationship with my body. it wasn't just this thing that was or wasn't attractive, but it was a tool. And yeah, it's kind of broken most of the time, but I'm working on to get it better. What I can do this year compared to what I could do last year is leaps and bounds. So, and this all happened because I decided I wasn't going to be afraid to try something new. And not letting fear stop you is what I think is what is gritty. I didn't want to end the night with something that's kind of like a little heavy and like, oh, body issues, blah, blah, blah. So I wanted to tell one little story that united the burlesque world and the hockey world, I think, in this really perfect way. So I do this act where I have this awesome reveal where I put this hat on and I throw the hat off and glitter flies out of it. And then I whip my hair back and glitter flows out like a big sparkly mohawk. And it's beautiful and the crowd loves it. And I have glitter in my hair for about a week. I left that show about 3 a.m. and I had ice time at 8 a.m. that morning. I didn't even bother taking a shower or getting my makeup off. I just like went home, went to sleep, got up and like ran to the rink. I looked like the Joker. I had like mascara smeared everywhere and my lipstick was all gross. And of course, like my scalp was bleeding glitter. Somehow I got onto the ice before warm-ups had finished. My coach sees me and he's skating up to me. He's going to give me a hard time like he normally does if I'm late. But as soon as he sees through my mask and just sees like the mess that is my face, the 60-year-old man just laughs and hits his stick against my pads. I'm like, looking good, Allie. Points me off to the crease and tells me to get started. I don't know if he was, like, trying to be funny that day, but it was all shooting drills. And again, I'm the goalie. The only goalie in this class. So we started with 1-0s, 2-0s, 3-0s. And 4-0s, because who the fuck needs defense, right? Every time I stopped to take a break, I lifted my helmet off, drink some water, a puff of glitter would come off of my helmet, onto the net, onto the crease. By the end of the class, there was red glitter just literally everywhere. I remember thinking, like, that poor beer league goalie who's coming out right after us, oh man, his pads are gonna look fabulous. Our buzzer goes off, our ice time's over. I move the net off to the side so the Zamboni can clear. Obviously, the glitter is stuck there. I go to the locker room, I change. I'm hearing a little bit of commotion outside. Normally, no one watches, like, the beer leaguers, the adult hockey, the classes. But there was a lot of people there today. But, you know, whatever. I walk out with my gear, glitter still kind of everywhere, and I see on the ice are the Chicago Blackhawks. Because they were practicing right after us. Their warm-ups had just finished, and they were about to do shooting drills. And guess who was in my crease? The crease that was still covered in glitter. Corey fucking Crawford. If you're not a hockey fan, which it sounds like most of you kind of know, he's the guy who, when they won the Stanley Cup in 2013, he was the one who went on the microphone on live TV and shouted how they worked their fucking nuts off. Well, he was working his fucking nuts off all over my glittery blue paint. So the next day, the Blackhawks had a game, and it was game 6 of round 1 of the 2015 Stanley Cup Finals. And Crawford wasn't doing so hot in that series. He got pulled. Scott Darling had to play for a couple games. Darling had the start in that game. And he wasn't doing so hot. He got scored a couple times. And Crawford had to then come in and relieve him. The Hawks pulled ahead and they won that game. They then won that series. People argue that Crawford was one of the best players the rest of that series. He hoisted the cup that year in Tampa, and I'd like to think that amongst all that grit, I think I have to point, there you go. Yeah. Amongst all that grit and toughness and tenacity and sweat and blood and blah, 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 there was a little bit of glitter still hanging on. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Allie Lawrence. And oh my God, someone listened to the podcast. She knows the rules. If you say the theme, you point to the sky.